All right.
I have told you before about UPS and how nice everybody is there. It's one of the nicest places I've ever worked. And what makes it so nice is not just the atmosphere of the offices, but the people who are there. This past couple of weeks ago, our supervisor of the department, the training department, Mark, gave all of the trainers, all of the training developers, instructional designers, gave us all Christmas gifts. And he didn't have to do that. I don't know if it came out of his personal budget or the budget of the department or whatever, but he gave us some gifts. And you always look forward to getting gifts, you know, so I opened it up and it was a Yankee candle. Now all the women are going, yeah. All the men are going, you know, and that's about what I felt, you know. Okay, it's a candle. Okay, great. Angie will love this. And she did. She loved it. And yesterday, she was burning it in the dining room, and she said, I don't know who gave you that candle, but it's great. And it's great because not only is it a pleasant aroma, it doesn't just fill the dining room, but it fills the entire upstairs. You can smell it into the bedroom. It just sends that sweet aroma out all over the place. If I were to ask you, what is your favorite smell? What is your favorite aroma? What would you say? Bacon? Everybody loves to smell bacon. Coffee. I can't stand to taste it, but I love to smell coffee. Some of the things that I like are not necessarily as a pleasant odor or anything like that. It's that it's connected with an event in my life or something like that. Whenever I smell charcoal, I think of Haiti. I think of Port-au-Prince because you smell a lot of charcoal down there. When I smell chlorine, I think of when I was a kid and went swimming all the time. And it also goes for that plastic and chlorine smell, you know, those little pools that you had when you were a kid. Pipe tobacco, I think of my dad. You know, he smoked a pipe. Christmas trees, everybody loves Christmas trees. You get that first whiff of a Christmas tree, and it's just a wonderful thing. It brings back a lot of childhood memories. And all you guys will get this, atomic balm. Remember atomic balm? Man, you smell that, and you know what that is. Anybody? That's when you rub it on. If your muscles are achy, you rub it on, and it hurts so bad because it stings so much that you forget that your muscles ache. It actually does help your muscle aches. But I can smell that, and I'll never forget. A few years ago, we went back to my high school to do a tour of the high school because they were allegedly going to tear it down. They haven't done it yet, but anyway, we went down to the locker room. The locker room was still there, and I walked in there and you could still smell the atomic bomb. It's amazing. It just brought back all of that as we went through that. Sometimes these odors can be pleasant, and sometimes they can be rather unpleasant. I do not like the smell of diapers. Now, they bring back memories of, you know, my kids, but I'm so glad that they're not in diapers anymore, and that's okay with me. This morning, I wanted to talk about a pleasant aroma, and that is the aroma of Jesus. Now, obviously, we do not know what Jesus smelled like. We have no way of knowing that. It doesn't tell us in the scriptures as far as physically what he smelled like. And obviously, that's not what we're talking about here. So let's set this up a little bit. The first mention of aromas or odors does occur in the Bible back in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 21. And that's where Noah has done everything that God has asked him to do. He built this ark. And he got all the animals and all. By the way, do you know which animal would be the first one to go on the ark? The gopher would. Oh, come on. That was not my joke. That was a joke of a guy at work who was so proud of that pun. But anyway, Noah has done everything that God has asked him to do. He's been on this ark for a year. And by the way, you can imagine what that ark must have smelled like after a year. So he's been on this ark and finally comes to rest on Mount Ararat. The water goes down and Noah comes out with his family. And the first thing they say is, whew. And the second thing they do is Noah builds an ark. And when he builds that ark, he sacrifices to God. And here's what it says in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 21. The Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Now sometimes the aroma, sweet aroma, can make you forget your troubles. As I said, it can take you back to some pleasant memories, and it can soothe you. The aromas are talked about again in Exodus chapter 29. In verses 18, 25, and 41, here's what it says. God says, "You shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma, an offering made by the by fire to the Lord." And in the 25th verse, "You shall receive them back from their hands and burn them on the altar as a burnt offering, as a sweet aroma before the Lord. It is an offering made by fire to the Lord." And then in the 41st verse, "The other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and you shall offer it with the grain offering and the drink offering, as in the morning, for a sweet aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord." Mentioned many times in Exodus, also in Leviticus and Numbers. It's always in regard to a sacrifice that is being made to the Lord. And that sacrifice rises up as a sweet aroma to God, a soothing aroma to God. Now, in all of these cases, we have to remember that God was not interested in the smell, the actual smell of that sacrifice of the animal. I like to smell barbecue. You love barbecue? You like to smell it? You ever actually smell an animal roasting without barbecue sauce and stuff like this? Not a pleasant aroma, really, when you think about it. So it's not that. I mean, burning goats do not smell that good, especially the way they burn them. It is obeying the will of God that makes it a sweet aroma to God. I love the smell of leather, too. When I smell leather, I think about when I was a kid and I played baseball. I had my baseball glove. You guys, you know, you remember all that? And you get that baseball glove and you put the rub on it, you know, and you get that glove just like you want it. And I remember that smell of that leather and going out and playing pitch with my dad, you know. Things like that, playing baseball and all. It is a sweet and pleasant memory for me. It's not that I can actually smell it, it's just that I think about those things. It is the same with God. That aroma meant that those people were doing what God had asked them to do. What was it that Samuel said to Saul? "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." It is a pleasant aroma to God when we do those things that He wants us to do. Those sacrifices were obedience on the part of the nation of Israel to God. It wasn't that it was a pleasant smell per se, it was the obedience of what they had done. So now that we've set that up, let's take a look at a passage in the New Testament. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Talks a little bit about aromas here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It would be much better if I read it from 2 Corinthians and not 1 Corinthians. Although I would just be following precedent today. So, I'm sorry, Ray, I couldn't resist. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll be reading from verses 14 through 17. "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ." There are four aromas that are talked about in this particular passage, and I wanted to talk about those this morning. First is the fragrance of the knowledge in every place. When I was a kid, there was a Colonial Bakery, the Colonial Bread here in Atlanta, and there was a Colonial Bakery that my mom used to go to every Saturday morning. She went to the day-old store or whatever it was, you know, the discount store. But the wonderful thing about that was two wonderful things. Number one, we always got cinnamon rolls, and I love those. But number two was the smell of the bakery. Don't you just love the smell of baking bread? It was so nice. And this is a whole factory. So you'd be driving toward this place, and you could smell it a mile away. It was great. You know, I love that particular smell. This is what God wants from us. He wants us to let everyone know whose we are, so that they can smell the aroma of our obedience, smell the fragrance of Jesus, no matter where they are, no matter where we are. He wants us to let everyone know that we have the knowledge of Him and that we have the knowledge of His Word. The words, by the way, used here in this particular passage, there are two words. The first time is osme, which is the Greek word that means to give out an odor, and that can be a good odor or a bad odor. And I'll tell you about the second word in just a minute. But that's what is used here in this first regard for fragrance is this odor, this good odor or bad odor. So as we think about this odor, to those who to the unsaved, to those outside of the church, outside of the Lord, we have to be an example to them. John chapter 6, 51 says, interestingly enough, I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Just as the colonial bakery gives off that sweet smell of knowledge of the truth, gives off that sweet smell, we need to give off that sweet smell of knowledge of truth by our example in everything we do. To the saved, we must present an aroma through fellowship. Romans chapter 12 and verses 10 through 13 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference one to another, not lagging in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Those around us should smell us. That's a terrible thing to say, isn't it? They should smell the fragrance of Christ. They should smell the fragrance of our obedience. And that obedience is that we are brothers and sisters. Sometimes we overlook those things that get on our nerves. Sometimes we just say, I'm going to fellowship with you and it's okay if I don't like the way you do this. It's okay if I don't like the way you do that. Sometimes we have to put aside those things. God gave us the church to be a separate nation from this world, but to be a people, just like the nation of Israel was a people in the Old Testament. We need to be thick-skinned with our brethren. We need to be loving. We need to be forgiving. We need to emit a sweet aroma of acceptance to everyone, understanding and forgiveness as we emit that fragrance of Jesus. Knowledge is power, someone once said. But knowledge can be more. It can be a sweet aroma that we send up to God. When we, as Noah and as others before, offer our sacrifice of learning the Word of God and of living the Word of God. And by the way, it is learning, but it is also living that Word to everyone with whom we come in contact. The second aroma mentioned here in 2 Corinthians is the sweet savor or the sweet fragrance of Jesus. Now, at this point, Paul switches the words. In the first case, he said osme. But this sweet savor or sweet fragrance is the word euodia, which means a sweet smell such as incense, an odor of acquiescence, spoken of the smell of sacrifices, those God is pleased with. And of course, Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. What was it he said when Jesus was baptized? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Later on in the Transfiguration, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. God was pleased with Jesus while he lived and what he did when he died. He was pleased with him at all times, and that is the fragrance that Jesus exudes. The main goal as a child of God is for us to get to heaven. Would you agree with that? Would anybody disagree with that? Our main goal, personally, is to do the things we need to do and not do the things that we don't need to do so that we can be with God, that we can be with Jesus in heaven. That is our goal. But the second goal is to take people with us when we go, to try our best to help others to see the light and to smell that fragrance of Jesus. And we don't do it to win praise from other people. We do this to bring souls to Jesus so that we can do His will and that we can help them. Teach is what Jesus said on many occasions, and He set the example with His teaching. The sweet savor, the sweet fragrance, is to those who are saved, is the incense of obedience that we send to God. He smells it in the lives of those who themselves obey, and even smells our efforts in those who don't obey. So whatever we do, whether someone else obeys or not, the sacrifice that we're making to do this, to teach others, to talk with others, to work with others. That is the aroma that lifts up to the Lord. We are doing what He asks us to do. We are sacrificing our desires. We are sacrificing our needs. We are sacrificing our time. And sometimes people are even sacrificing their lives for Jesus. This is the same thing that God smelled in Leviticus and Numbers and in Exodus, which was the sweet smell of obedience. When we do as we ask, as He asks rather, God knows and He will appreciate that as that aroma drifts upward toward Him. Now the third aroma, Paul goes back to the word osme, and this is a very unpleasant one. To those who do not obey, we become the stench of death. There are many out there today who just do not care for eternal things. They don't care about it for any number of reasons. One of the reasons is that it makes them uncomfortable. They just don't like us to talk about those things. But they have to know these things. Remember in John chapter 11 and verse 39 when Jesus came to visit Mary and Martha after Lazarus had died? And remember that Martha went to the tomb. Jesus went to the tomb and Martha said, Jesus said, roll away the stone. And Martha said, well, Lord, by this time he stinketh. That's the stench of death. He'd been dead for 4 days. And you can imagine what he must have, what he would have smelled like after 4 days in a grave. And that's what she was concerned about. That is the stench of death, just as a sinful life is the stench of death to God. Deodorants are a big industry today. Would you agree with that? People always want deodorant. I'm glad they invented deodorant. I don't know about you. The covers up body odor. You know, we kid about this, and you can say I mentioned this the next time he comes down here, but Noah has some smelly feet. I'm going to tell you, man, he's got some smelly feet. And it doesn't matter, he knows it, and it doesn't matter what he does. He tries to cover it up all the time. He has those smelly feet, but he still tries to do it. And that's the whole thing. He tries to mask that. And we always try to do that. We have all kind of perfumes and deodorants and all those things. There are many in the world today who are looking for some kind of a spiritual deodorant to cover up the stench of sin. They're trying to do things that will make them appear to be good or make them seem good, but they're not obedience to God's will. I had a friend who said, well, I just believe that if you do good things for other people that you'll get to heaven. And that's what a lot of people believe. But there's more to it than that. It's more than just doing good. It's why are you doing the good? Are you doing it for your own good? Or are you doing it for God's good? Or are you doing it for their good? Why are you doing these things? What is it that drives you? And we can't just cover up that stench of sin that's in our lives. And it is there, whether we want to admit it or not. The only thing that will get rid of that stench of sin and death is a spiritual cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that can do that in the eyes of God. Obedience to His will. Obedience to those things that He would have us to do. The last aroma is back to a pleasant aroma. To those who've obeyed, we become the aroma of hope. Now think about that aroma of hope as you listen to what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 17 through 18 in his letter to that congregation. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds into your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Here he once again uses the word euodia. It is that sacrifice that is being made by these Christians at Philippi. A sweet aroma of sacrifice. They have given until it hurts. They have done the things that God has asked them to do. They have sacrificed. And they have sent that sweet aroma not only to God, but to Paul, many miles away, and to others who can smell that aroma of Jesus. Paul received that good report, and he knew that they were a part of the hope that he had from Jesus or through Jesus. He says the same thing about the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Paul talks about how Christ became that sweet aroma to God through his obedience If he had not done what God asked him to do, there would have been no sacrifice. It would not have been a sweet smell, a sweet aroma that rose to God. And Jesus did this for you and for me. It's the same with those Philippians and those Ephesians. That's what gave him hope, was that they were taking that fragrance of Christ and they were passing it through themselves, being that sacrifice that they needed to be, but they were also allowing others to smell the aroma of Christ, the fragrance of Christ. They smelled like Jesus, if you will. As we go through life, we are all going to give off some odors. Some of them are going to be pretty good, and some of them are going to be pretty bad. I hate to be around people who smoke. And the reason is, I don't hate the people, I hate the smoke. Because it clings to you. You know, when you're around people who smoke, when it takes days to get that smoke out of your clothing, and sometimes you have to wash it two or three times. I hate to come in after I have exerted myself. Not that I've done that very much lately, but I hate to come in and smell up the house with my sweat, because I smell bad. As I said, we buy all kinds of things to mask that odor and to make people think pleasant thoughts about us. I can remember, I hate to say this, I can remember one morning I went to work, and I got to work and I was sitting there, and after about an hour I realized I had not put my deodorant on. And I could tell I hadn't put my deodorant on. So, you know, just sort of got up and went to the restroom and, you know, washed and tried to make sure there was no one in there when I was doing it, you know. And then later on I realized I got to do that again, you know, because you're just sitting there. But you hate that, you know, because you don't want people to think that you're a pig. You don't want them to think that you know, you don't care about them. You want them to smell an aroma, a nice aroma. Well, that's the way we need to be with this world. We don't want them to smell the stench of death around us, the stench of sin and death. We want them to smell the fragrance of Jesus. We want to smell like Jesus. You remember in John chapter 12, where Jesus is with Mary and Martha and Lazarus after he has been risen from the dead. And Mary comes in with this pint of nard, which is a very expensive perfume according to the Bible. And she pours that whole pint on Jesus' feet. And it says in the scripture that the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Well, no matter how fragrant that perfume was that particular day, it could not match the fragrance of the living sacrifice on whom she poured it. He was sitting there in that house. And Jesus is a perfume that money cannot buy. It is the most expensive perfume that has ever been. And it's a lifetime supply that God will share with us. He will share that fragrance with us if we'll take it and we will use it. We will let others know that we smell like Jesus, and we will spread that fragrance through everything we do and everything we say and everything we think. This morning, if you need to answer an invitation, we're going to offer that to you, whether it's to put on the Lord in baptism or whether it's to kind of renew your love for Jesus and your following of Jesus. If you have a need to answer an invitation, we're going to offer that to you right now while we stand and sing. What can wash away my sin?